There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast.
On the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
I don't know.
Remember the, what was it, the French, was it Muzzy?
Amel Muzz?
Amel Muzz?
That's a French
It's like this French video. It was like they had a big hairy monster. Yeah, that's what number stations are.
Oh, I see.
That's all it is. It's just teaching. It's teaching boys and girls Russian all over the world from killers.
Oh, excited.
Actual assassins.
Killers, assassins, also known as Russian teachers. Very good. Are we starting the episode? Okay. Mysterious sounds. That's what we're doing today, right?
Mysterious recordings throughout the world.
Ooh. Okay. I'm Marcus Parks. You're Ben Kissel. with us, as always, from beautiful, sunny Kanata.
It is 45 degrees here.
Okay.
I love it.
Different, different than where I just was in South America.
Oh, yes. You were just in South America.
Tell me, how is the compound?
Well, funny you should ask. My Oma, a cancer survivor at 93, you're young.
Strong race. I've always said that about the Germans. It's a very strong, yes. Powerful race.
Yes. She's doing very well. Thank you for asking, Henry. I didn't mention all of your anti-German sentiment, you Polak.
So did she spill the beans on your grandfather, or is she still just tight-lipped like Miss Mengele?
Oh, that is funny. That is humorous. She's 93 and survived cancer. Very funny.
So she's extra good at keeping secrets, is that what you're saying, because she's impervious to being interrogated?
No, my grandfather was an internationalist.
Oh, an internationalist.
He belonged to the world. Well, it was after they lost the war, though. So if they would have won, he would have been a German. But that's okay. I do have a couple of pictures, and I'll show you guys in private, a bit incriminating. But also, he was extremely successful, and he helped a lot of Nigerians.
Isn't that interesting?
Nice? With labor
laws. Were they white people in Nigeria?
No.
Coming over to South America because they were hiding here for some reason or another?
Moving on. Moving on to today's
topic. I'd also
like
to say your grandfather's library seemed very specific.
Thank you very much, Henry. Again,
I recorded some of my own mysterious sounds.
You did.
Here in my apartment, if you guys want to hear some. You guys ready? Stuff's pretty spooky. I was actually this is true.
Is this going to have anything to do with your high flax diet?
No way.
Oh, okay.
I was here at night. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and I was wearing nothing but just my panties that I wear, just tight little underwear. And I was sitting, it was a high turn of the heat in the apartment, so I was slick with my own sweat. She imagined my hair matted against my skin like a wet dog, a dog that just got hit with a hose. That's what my chest and my back look like.
Right, yeah.
Very wet. And I heard something off in the darkness. I was just sitting there. I was watching some Daredevil on silent because I like to imagine that I'm deaf. What? Watching a blind show.
Right.
And I heard this thing. I felt like I was being watched. So I took out my iPhone and I asked, "Who goes there? Who is there?
Yeah,
answer me.
Right.
Show yourself." And then I recorded this. I'm gonna play it for you now.
You're a jackass. You're a jackass. Everything you say is a lie. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Henry, we're on to you.
Evidence of ghost farts.
Ghost farts.
This episode's going to be great.
This is exciting. So we've heard Henry's lies. Let's get to some real mysterious recordings.
Oh, yeah. And by mysterious recordings, we mean recordings from space. We mean recordings from here on Earth. We mean recordings from shortwave transistors. But we're going to start with mysterious recordings from the ocean.
Ooh, exciting.
Under the sea.
Well, that's not so mysterious.
That's Sebastian, the funny crab.
Wow.
Oh, just come here and get him on my plate. crack his bones.
Henry, you can't eat Sebastian the cartoon crab.
I just want to eat that lower half of Ariel the Little Mermaid, you know what I'm saying?
Henry, you're looking great. What's your diet? Oh, mostly Disney cartoon characters.
So we're going to start with the most famous. We're going to start off with a big one. We're going to start off with the most famous underwater sound that has ever existed.
Ooh.
The bloop.
Bloop.
Mm-hmm. And how we first heard the bloop is that in the 1960s during the Cold War, the Navy installed a top secret network of underwater microphones called hydrophones to listen for the movements and transmissions of Soviet nuclear submarines.
And really, that just became the first podcast hosted by tuna, which is kind of fun.
Also, everybody knows how communist parliament members like to bathe together.
Oh, of course.
And where they're bathing, sometimes when they're naked, that's where they share their most secret stuff. So.
You know, there's that show Fear Factor, and at no point did they have them drink the water after a Russian bath. I think that would be more disgusting than any animal or bug that you could put in your mouth.
Yeah, because technically it becomes vodka.
Is that how they make it?
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So this system was called the Sound Surveillance System, or SOSUS. Mm. And so after the Cold War ended, the U.S. Navy turned this technology over to civilian and private companies so we could still make some use of this SOSUS thing. And several times during 1997, a sound reverberated throughout the ocean. It was dubbed the bloop. Ooh. The sound rises rapidly in frequency over 1 minute and was loud enough to be picked up by multiple sensors located up to 5,000 kilometers apart.
Wow.
Yes. And it was one of the loudest underwater sounds ever recorded. And over the next few weeks, similar sounds were recorded by another system, and the sounds suddenly stopped and have never been heard again.
I feel like the bloop, if it was a person, it would have a mustache and it would just belch after every sip of beer.
How dare these microphones come and disturb my peace? I am trying to watch the cricket game. How I love cricket. It's like baseball, but shittier.
What a large monocle the bloop has.
They're merely recording the sounds of my thighs moving back and forth.
Henry,
I wish that they would respect my privacy.
Are you the bloop, Henry?
Yes.
Well, let's hear the bloop sped 16 times, because it is a very long noise. So let's hear it sped up 16 times.
Wait a second. Isn't that just Ben's mother getting out of the tub?
Oh, well, that's a funny joke about my mom getting out of the tub. Thank you for that, Henry.
Well, it does sound organic in nature. It does sound like it could be some sort of animal, either something very, very large or something that is just very good at making sound. And coincidentally...
like Michael Jackson?
That where he is. Kind of bloop walks down there.
So the NOAA says that there's no way that it was man-made. And no creature on Earth has ever been known to exist that has made this sound. But the location of the sound is said to be within 500 miles of the layer of Cthulhu.
It's called Yeah.
Yeah. Riley. Riley.
Riley or Rie. We're going to get fucking shit from all these Lovecraftians.
God, we're going to get so much shit.
Rie is characterized by bizarre architecture likened to non-Euclidean geometry. Norwegian sailor Gustav Johansen, the narrator of one of these tales during the Call of Cthulhu, describes the accidental discovery of the city.
A ghost line of mingled mud, ooze, and weedy cyclopean masonry, which can be nothing less than the tangible substance of Earth's supreme terror. The nightmare corpse city, every year. Loathsomely redolent of spheres and dimensions apart from ours.
Huh. He's just so mad that there's no circles.
Yeah, absolutely. What is it? Non-Euclidean?
Non-Euclidean.
Non-Euclidean. Yeah, sort of what they do to the girls over there in the Middle East. What?
They cut off their clitorises, Marcus.
Oh, non-Euclidean.
Yes, non-Euclidean. Yes, that's different.
No.
That's different. Non-Euclidean just means weird as fuck.
Oh, I see.
In geometric terms.
Oh, okay.
Euclidean geometry. You didn't pay attention in high school, did you, Ben?
I didn't go to high school. I was smoking weed out of an apple. And out of a pear.
Well, the recording does sound like an animal, but it sounds most like an animal when you speed it up 16 times faster.
Mm. Which is how most people listen to the sound, because literally the original sound is what? Like, it's like a couple of minutes long. And it just goes like...
Well, I've actually got the sound here.
Oh, so I don't have to do that.
No, you don't have to do that. No,
I liked it. I was about to inject you with morphine and put you out of your misery.
No, you don't need to do that, because we've got it right here. Here it is.
Is this Trent Reznor? It just sounds like me getting off a leather couch.
Slipping and sliding.
Yeah. So what most people don't hear this. And in my opinion, this is much creepier than just...
Yeah, it sounds like something that Argento would have used. It sounds like the band Goblin.
Yeah.
Very, very Suspiria-esque.
Oh, yeah.
Very Sentinel. And now at this point, I really can't help but think of getting a spatula and helping you off of this leather couch as you try to suffer miserably to get up and get off of it as you're naked.
I just gotta take a shit. Oh, God, I just gotta take a shit. I am a part of this couch now.
Yeah. Gotta get you off that couch.
So a lot of people said it's a big... whale. Some people said it's, of course, Cthulhu. Many people jumped to that conclusion. But in all actuality, what it probably was is that it was a gigantic ice quake that cracked off of an iceberg, which calved off of the Antarctic ice sheet, making it a consequence of global warming, which is much more terrifying.
Much more scary. And the thing is that the NOAA never, ever said that it was an animal. They never said any of this stuff of what it sounded like. The bloop came out. They were like, we got this noise, and sometimes we're here, you know, we're pretty sure that it's definitely not, it's Cthulhu, it's Cthulhu, it has to be Cthulhu.
Yes.
No, we've all read the books. It's just, please, for the, everyone sit down, it's just a fart noise from deep in the ocean, and it's an ice quake. We're trying to say ice quake.
Cthulhu, ice quake sounds like a new treat from Dairy Queen. Ooh, I want an ice quake. That would be good. But this makes a lot of sense. Now, they say we've explored a lot of space and almost, well, not quite as much. We've not explored the oceans at all.
95% of the oceans, we have no idea what's in them.
So what's down there? And now with the pollution and things, people are saying the bloop is coming to the surface, and that's where we're starting to hear it.
Ooh.
Yes.
Look at this, right? We had the first sighting of a giant squid. What was in 2004?
Yeah.
And then it was like a new whale also just washed ashore like fucking a year, like 6 months to a year ago.
Yeah.
That we're seeing new shit pop up from the bottom of the ocean.
Right.
Because these seas are warming, they are literally moving up. Because their food is dying down below, and they're rising up to get more food. So we're going to be seeing some weird shit, you know, like we're going to see a whole flagon of McNeelys squeaking out of the ocean.
Hold on, McNeely from the Round Table of Gentlemen, and make sure to listen to the new special where he speaks for 30 minutes, kind of speaks. It's a special kind of talk.
As an artist, I'm forced to support it.
You are. Well, I guess we don't know if the bloop loves plastic gallons of milk gallons, but hopefully it does, because it's eating a lot of them.
I tell you what, if it likes beer, it's got a welcome party here in my living room, because we're watching the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh yeah, Bloop is a big Ravens fan. Well, there
I love them Ravens. Caw-caw! Well, Ravens.
I don't think we should bring Henry to the Ravens games anymore. He doesn't get the game. No.
Where's the birds at?
Okay.
Caw-caw!
All right.
Well, there's plenty of other sounds from the ocean. There's a one called Julia. This was caught in a March 1st, 1999. Let's listen to this.
Julia, you want to get some ice cream with me?
No, quake.
It's deep sea nerds.
So Julia and the bloop, they're kind of dating down there, and they're having fun. There's also the slowdown. This one comes over about a 7-minute period, and it's similar to a distant wailing or something falling from the sky. This is on May 19th, 1997. And that's the weird thing about all of these sounds, is that these sounds are captured in the 90s,
right,
but there haven't been any captured in the last 15 years or so. Not since
the 90s. Everybody was getting wild and right, having fun and partying and raving, and now people are settling down and having families. It's 2015, man.
I agree. What happened in the 90s? NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. Music you had to dance to. Music
Nick Lachey was a person that we forced to be famous that now continues to be famous.
That's right. Probably a victim of pedophilia.
Here's an audio sample of the slowdown. And yes, Ben, you are correct. Probably a victim of pedophilia.
Thank you very much. That's when the bloop just mounts her.
Slides it right in there.
You want my bloopy?
Bloop's about to shoot!
Oh, yeah! He was the star of the quarterback. I've been on a flight for 12 hours, so give me a little break.
That's the sound of your mother getting back into the tub.
Yes, there. Thank you, Henry.
Well, Julia, the slowdown, and the bloop are all attributed to ice quakes and the eventual death of the Earth as we know it.
Great. So good to hear.
But the upsweep, this last one, we actually have no idea what this one is. This was captured in 1991. This was one of the very first ones that we captured after after Sonus was turned over to private companies.
I will say, if you were on a New York City subway and you see a girl in a skirt and you give her the upsweep, that is a misdemeanor sexual assault. So do not do
it. Crowded on the train is no validation for sexual assault.
Even if you are the bloop, and how did the bloop get on the train? Who gave that thing a metro card?
Exactly. He's 20 stories tall.
Right.
That's a thing that I'm already still confused about, that he's supposed to be so big.
Ma'am, you are telling me the bloop sexually molested you.
I'm not really sure. It was kind of a big walking, talking building, and it was kind of killing a bunch of people as it was going, but it just also somehow managed to take one of its weird fingers and swipe it up my butthole.
We're gonna catch this goddamn bloop.
Like, here is the upsweep.
That sounds like monkeys.
There are no monkeys in the bottom of the ocean.
You may tell me ain't no monkeys down there. I know they got a hidden jungle.
They don't? Where would it... How would it
down
be...
Down in the ocean, you wouldn't believe the kind of secrets they have. They use shells for money. I've met a merman.
Yeah? What did he tell you?
He said all sorts of weird things.
So let's move to the Earth.
Okay.
Let's move above the ocean for more mysterious recordings and more mysterious sounds. This one is a phenomenon that has been reported quite a bit since the 1950s, and this is a very strange one. It's a low-frequency humming or throbbing or rumbling sound, and it's heard mostly indoors in rural or suburban locations, and people say that it gets louder at night.
What I would also say is that there is sound technology that our government has been working on that basically they use it for billboards and shit. That they had developed it for military use, which is beaming sound localized into people's, like, into an area, into people's heads. The advertisers are already using it. And I could imagine that something like this is a possible either test or fuck up of some sort of military weapon.
Well, it's actually already being used in the protests that we saw in Baltimore and in Ferguson. It's a high frequency sonar sound that is very specific, pretty much to the person. So you can't hear it if you go 1 foot to the left or 1 foot to the right. So that's why if you ever look at a protest and some dude is just rocking and rolling, they're listening to the Rolling Stones. But
that's
the other
awesome
people, they don't get to hear it.
That's a groovy way to stop a protest, is by getting them fucking jamming.
It is, but of course they're always looking for new non-lethal ways to stop protests, and they're just going with the B-52s and the Bee Gees.
Well, I read about a really interesting thing that they use in malls now, is that it's what we're going to talk about a lot here is frequencies and how frequencies affect the brain. And certain malls and public places are using these frequencies that can only be heard by people that are 25 and younger. So they broadcast these frequencies to keep teenagers and riffraff from hanging out at certain places. And there are different levels of frequencies that can only be heard by like certain ages. It's something about how your hearing just sort of goes away. These certain frequencies just can't be heard anymore. And the funny thing,
because it says stuff like, your mom shops here. Why are you shopping here? You know, your mom shops here. Why are you shopping here?
Yeah, that's the thing. How many kids are at malls?
Yeah, well, that mean a few here and there. But the funny thing about this frequency is I could actually hear it. Like, me and Henry both tested it to see who could actually, like, if both of us could hear it. Because I can hear it. It's very low, but I can still hear it. Henry couldn't hear it at all.
Well, I'm too wise.
Yeah, well, you're too wise, or you can't hear it over you chomping on one potato, two potato. You're slamming those potatoes down.
I'm not eating as many carbs these days.
Oh, that's very good. You guys know a one potato, two potato, right?
Three potato,
no.
Four?
No, it was a restaurant that was all over the malls in the Midwest. You didn't grow up in Wisconsin?
I grew up in Texas.
We're not neighbors in Wisconsin?
No.
Henry?
No. We don't know your references. No, your cryptic weird references. We don't know Nikaha or Nina Hay or any one of your weird fucking Indian chains that you had in Wisconsin.
One potato, two potato. Great potatoes.
The thing is, it's so funny. Didn't even have a one potato option because it's Wisconsin. It should have just been called two potato, four potato.
Well, you gotta go back for
we
second.
Ain't serving potatoes and no odd numbers around here.
There's even numbers.
Well, that sounds about right.
The funny thing about the hum is you can't actually capture the hum with conventional microphones. It's something that really only the people can hear. It's that weird of a frequency and that low of a frequency is that a lot of time these frequencies can't be picked up, just like you can't just turn record on your iPhone and actually pick it up. Right. At least one suicide in the UK was reported as a result of the hum. The guy left a suicide note. He was like, I can't take it anymore.
Really?
And this hum thing is actually very real. It has been it's really strangely very deeply in the UK. It's deep in like Scotland and England, and it's also been in New Mexico, but I just think New Mexico's all fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. It doesn't go away. It's sort of like the exploding noises linked to UFO sightings. Mm. There are many people I'm researching all this about mysterious booms, and they were saying the same thing where UFOs are seen, and then what'll happen is like an earthquake type noise will have like this. It's like a vibration. It's not an actual earthquake, but you feel it in the air. It's just like this boom.
Yeah.
Like it's happening like a sonic boom, but something way more local.
Well, they call them mist poofers. Mist poofers.
That's a porno I used to have.
They call them mist poofers, and we know that they're not sonic booms because they have been reported, like the Iroquois tribes, but ancient tribes of North America have reported these booms for decades and centuries.
And you know that Native Americans talk to aliens because that's why they always draw the guys with the big heads and the big eyes all over everything, because they keep wanting to be like, they should know. I met a goddamn alien once there, and these white people will not listen to me because I keep wearing this feather hat. Mm-hmm. But you know I'm not allowed to leave the reservation unless I've got it on, running school.
Chief, choose a lot of lard. I wish you wouldn't curse.
Well, the other weird things about the hum is that usually only 2% of the people in any given hum area can hear the sound, and most of the people who can hear the sound are from ages 55 to 70, another bizarre age thing.
Right. So they just feel like they're losing their minds. And I guess to some degree they are.
Yeah, they really do.
Man, I don't trust anybody over 30.
That's right. So do they deliver specific messages in the hum, or is it just the tone?
Here, I'll let me play. This is an approximation. They did a whole episode of Unsolved Mysteries. And one of the people that heard the hum on a consistent basis was able to make this approximation of what the hum sounded like to him.
It sounds like this. It sounds like hum, 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 hum.
Henry, did you just? I didn't hear that. Did you hear it? I didn't hear it.
Of course, I heard. I hear everything.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. Frequency weapons freak me out because I know they would fuck me up bad, man.
Yes, they would.
That's what I say, man. I'm immune to them. I'm human 2.0, dude.
No way.
I don't have wisdom teeth, and I can't be affected by noise weapons.
I'm fucking human 2.0 because I can hear all the fucking frequencies, man. No, I'm going downtown.
More vulnerable, man.
Aren't we way past 2.0? Aren't we at like 6.9 or something? 7.0 something?
I am not.
2.0 is like 1998. Yeah.
All right, this is the hum, or at least an approximation of it. And that's what was known as the Taos hum in Taos, New Mexico.
It's kind of nice.
There are also things that are linked to it at the same time, which is didn't a lot of people who have experienced the hum had exposure to industrial equipment, high-pressure gas lines, wireless communication devices, which is just fucking everybody does, electrical power lines, electromagnetic radiation, and also the mating calls of midshipman fish reverberating off of ship hulls and buildings.
Well, this is a recording of the fish right here.
That's horny fish.
Yeah. Midshipman.
Yeah,
fish.
I got pretty hard.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Here's one from England that is very, very bizarre. Some people say, like, the city council came out and said, like, no, this is actually just a guy sharpening a blade in a valley.
So, oh, nothing to worry about here. Just a fella sharpening a blade in a valley like he always does.
Well, they say, we just want to warn everyone again, do not enter blade sharpening valley. It is very dangerous. There are men there. They're sharpening their blades.
I'm not going.
But this is, yeah, this was actually captured. They said that's why it was so loud and why it was reverberating throughout the entire town. They said, and you know, I have heard like farm equipment and, you know, groundskeeping equipment sharpened before, and it does sound kind of like this. Don't look at me
of
like that.
Of course you
I
have.
I grew up on a fucking ranch. Of course I've heard this shit.
Henry, do you hear these sentences he says?
I would say that is one of the more normal sentences he said.
All right.
Yeah, it's perfectly logical. Okay, I didn't grow up on the ranch itself, but I grew up around ranches. My fucking papa had a ranch. My grandfather had a ranch.
Okay.
I worked on a ranch before I came here.
All of the field workers.
Yeah.
And they raised him as his own and taught him their songs.
That's
and he learned about their folklore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, different upbringings. I was eating at the one potato, two potato, while you were busy listening to people sharpen farm equipment.
And I was in Oxford writing my treatise on theology.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go? All right,
this is the British hum.
To Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to see dinosaurs, but it's just a bunch of English people sharpening knives.
Even better. Very interesting.
It's the sounds that are important. We spare no expense.
Indeed. Yeah, sort of an elephant type sound there as well. Very interesting.
The next one we have comes from the Soviet Union, which we did cover this a little bit on an episode long, long, long ago. One of our very first episodes. But more than 40 years ago, the Soviet Union decided that they need to dig a real deep fucking hole in the ground.
That was just because they need to keep their people busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think your army is too big when you just have a whole brigade dedicated to digging holes, you know?
What do we have men do? I don't know. We have many drill, put the hole, big hole.
What would we do? We would have them dig the biggest hole that they can dig, right? Mm. And guess what? Funny joke, Yarfik. We go, we pop them in the back of the head with a bullet, we leave them in the hole.
That is a funny Russian joke. I love that. Sergeant Smirnov.
Have any extra toilet paper I had diarrhea 2 weeks ago and I lost the one roll we're allowed to have every month.
Oh my God, Sergeant Yakov Smirnov, I have a feeling you have a history in comedy if you just can get out of the USSR, my friend.
Well, the drilling stopped in 1994. The hole was over 7 miles deep.
This is just stupid. 7 miles deep.
I cannot believe we as Americans let Russia dig the biggest hole in the world. That is American's job.
That is American's job. Jobs
from America.
Well, we were going to the moon, beating them in the space race. They were just digging holes.
We go up, they go down. All we right. go up, they go down.
One of our many cultural differences.
Well, what their goal was, they wanted to penetrate the Earth's upper crust and sample the warm, mysterious area. Where the
operation just the tip.
Yeah, exactly. This sounds like this is all a euphemism for Putin having sex.
They wanted to find out what was going on, where the crust and the mantle intermingle in what they call the Mohorovic discontinuity, or MOHO.
Yeah, you do get the feeling that, like, Khrushchev was trying to tell his sergeant to go get laid for the weekend, and he just took it all very literally, and he's just like,
go put drill in hole.
Will do then. Okay.
You never said stop. So we kept going. Also, I heard that the rents in MOHO are really skyrocketing, and it's a shame because that neighborhood used to be just so, so cool.
Artist friendly. Yeah.
So after going a few miles down, the drill started to spin wildly.
Mm.
Yes. And a Dr. Azakov, he was quoted as stating authoritatively that it has been shown that the Earth is hollow.
Mm. Oh.
Extremely high temperatures were experienced, much higher than expected at that depth. Usually 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit is the temperature that's quoted. And finally, they lowered microphones down into the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And we are lucky enough to have a recording of an episode of Coast to Coast in which Art Bell explores this phenomenon. Should we just listen to what Art has to say about all
this? Please, please, he's the best.
I think so.
Now, I've got a clean copy of it now, and I warn you, this could scare you. Here's the email. Dear Art Bell, I just recently began listening to your radio show and could not believe it when you talked about the sounds from hell tonight. My uncle had told me this story a couple of years ago, and I didn't believe him, like one of your listeners who discounted the story as nothing more than just a religious newspaper fabricated account. The story about the digging of the hole and the hearing of the sounds from hell is very real. It did occur in Siberia. My uncle collected videos and audio tapes and so forth on the paranormal, supernatural. He passed away fairly recently, but he would have loved your show. He let me listen to one of the audio tapes that he had on the sounds from hell in Siberia, and I copied it. He received his copy from a friend who worked at the BBC. It took me a while to find it tonight, but attached is that sound from my uncle's tapes. It's not the greatest quality, but the sounds are there.
Let's get to it, man.
I was very hesitant to send you this, as the sound bothers me to listen to. I'd suggest that if you do play it on the program, warn listeners in advance so they may have the option of turning the radio off for 30 seconds while it plays. It has always haunted me. To those who discounted the Siberia sounds from hell story, it is true, and I, for one, wish it wasn't. Rick, listening from Chicago.
Oh, started out.
And so I submit now the cleaned, a better copy to you, and I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Joseph, come over, everybody. Let's wave at Stalin. Oh, there he is. Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Mr. Stalin?
A not bad. As far as Russia goes, that's a fairly peaceful sound.
I mean, admittedly, it is terrifying.
Yeah, they nailed it.
Yeah, whoever put that together, I mean, absolutely nailed the sound. I mean, if I would imagine what hell actually sounded like, very close to that.
Yeah, it sounds
really
like a
creepy.
Fun.
It also shows a lot about the Russian temperament that they all just began dancing to it. Like it was
yeah, kind of interesting. Art Bell, holy lord, that guy.
So that was Art Bell. That right. was his. That was Art's setup for it. You know, that was Art's commentary on it.
Unbelievable.
Of course, we know that Art Bell is not the only host that Coast to Coast has had throughout the years.
I will say this: we can admit he's the slowest talking one.
4 hours every night to fill.
Every night, he's got to talk slow. Right. I love Art Bell. I mean, Art Bell's my favorite, but George Norrie, who also hosts Coast to Coast AM, and now is the permanent host, but he's had a lot of guests recently, is just the absolute best entertainer who's ever existed.
How do you think George Norrie would have introduced the sounds of hell from Russia?
Now, let me ask you a question. you ghost down in hell. How hot is it? Is it too hot to handle? What is the exact temperature that you're experiencing in Hellblade? Now, the phenomenon of black-eyed children is something to behold. We're cutting here to Marianne Regigalcutty, all the way from Edmonton, Barbaria.
Wrong tape.
Oh, wrong tape.
Well, that's amazing. Great George Norrie impression. I think we should start including a Hail Art Bell. Hail Bell.
What okay.
He's a legend. Legend in the field.
Hail Norrie. People talk shit about George Norrie, but goddamn, I love him.
Oh, people
he asks
need to
the dumbest questions on any that's the problem. Is he just asks the dumbest questions.
Well,
like,
I
just being like, these black-eyed children, do they also have adult supervision?
Well, you want to be careful on the playground. Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair to George Norrie, the subject matter is occasionally relatively goofy, and he wants to ask serious questions about ridiculous things, and then that'll make him come across as a bit of a goof.
Now, if the Earth is hollow,
right?
How big is the inside of the hollow part of the Earth?
We're on a radio show.
We'll be right back with more from Last Podcast after a word from our sponsor. This episode of Last Podcast on the Left is brought to you by Loot Crate. For less than $20 a month, you can get 6 to 8 items of gamer and pop culture, licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Make sure to go to lootcrate.com/last and enter the code LAST to save $3 on any new subscription. Previous crates have included items from franchises like Star Wars, Marvel, The Walking Dead, Legend of Zelda, and a hell of a whole lot more. This month, Loot Crate invites you to join the cyber revolution with an assortment of cool tech-themed collectibles from a wide array of franchises like Terminator, Borderlands 2, which is one of my favorite games, and an exclusive t-shirt you can't find anywhere else. So be sure to go to lootcrate.com/LAST and put in the code LAST to get $3 off of a new subscription and get some cool shit in the mail every single month. Now, back to the show. So let's move off from the Earth and let's go out into space.
This has been a perfect progression of evolution from the water to the land, now to the space.
Now off to space. So let's talk about the Cassini spacecraft and the rings of Saturn. Now, this is really fucking cool. I really like this sound. What this is that this is a recording of the electromagnetism that is coming off of Saturn's rings.
Now, what I like about this, too, is also apparently this spacecraft is, again, was sent up by professor scientist Tom Waits. They sent up there because he's looking for new sounds.
Yes. All right. This is the Saturn radio signal. Whoa. God, it's so fucking cool.
That one is very interesting. And what's the speculation on what it is?
Some people say that it's alien speech. They say that it could be an alien transmission out. But that is just, the Earth actually makes a similar tone.
Right.
The electromagnetism of certain planets do actually give off certain noises if you have the right equipment to read it.
You talking about the seas of free energy that surround us all 24/7 that we should be tapping instead of serving the oil companies and the fucking the power industry?
Right.
Circumstances, military industrial complexes.
Well, now you're just throwing cliche sentences out there. We'll be discussing this free energy phenomenon. Henry mentioned it before the show, and I can't wait for a good full episode on free energy.
I will congratulate these scientists with strap and microphones to everything.
Oh, they're nailing it. Just put a microphone on it. You never know what it's going to pick up. Is that Celine Dion?
Well, this next one, this is one of the biggest microphones that we've ever built. It's called the Big Ear. And the Big Ear, this was something that was funded by Ohio State University.
Oh, please tell me Mel Brooks created this and it actually looks like a big ear. Sounds like something straight out of Spaceballs.
So what this does is that the Big Ear looks for radio transmissions from space to Earth. And this one is real, and this one is actually fascinating. This is the signal. Dr. Jerry Amon, he heard the signal. It lasted for a total of 72 seconds. This is the signal that he heard.
The reason why it was called the wow signal is because when that thing came through, Dr. Jerry Amon, who basically, when he saw the printout, he circled it and wrote wow next to it.
Wow. Yeah, because that, if you translate that signal into actual numbers, then it's the only time they've ever seen an actual string. Like they actually saw an actual string of numbers that could be interpreted as an actual signal of extraterrestrial origin. That it's not just random numbers. It's not just sound waves or radio waves bouncing back from the Earth to the Earth. Like this is something they actually traced the signal to the northwest of the globular cluster of M55 in the constellation Sagittarius near the T Sagittarii star group. But there are no planets or stars in that area, which might point towards it coming from an actual spaceship.
So as a scientist with years and years of education, wow.
I mean, what the fuck else are you? Indubitably.
Well, indubitably. That's what a scientist would say. But
yeah, he wanted to call it the holy shit signal.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for papers.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Wow.
Unfortunately, they've never been able to get this signal back.
It really did.
But they bounced back and forth.
Yeah.
Because apparently it also kind of measured out to, it seemed like a response to a signal they had just sent out. Because constantly, like, people who work for SETI and our government are just beaming radio waves out into space to see what we get back. And this is the first one that was recorded. The thing that was different about this and other things they collect is the fact that it was a radio signal.
Okay.
A lot of the times, it's like, that's kind of our problem. Now SETI and people that are looking for intelligent life in the universe are starting to think, well, maybe they don't got fucking radios. Maybe they don't do radios. Maybe it's microwaves. Maybe it's another type of energy. Maybe they communicate using radiation. Ooh. Like, they have to start broadening their perspectives, but they're just not smoking enough weed over there.
Yeah, well, if it's microwaves, then they also have Totino's Pizza Rolls, and I'm down with that. This is a George thank you, no problem. This is a George Norrie question. It might be stupid, but math is the universal language. Is that what it is? Is this math talking?
Well, what they actually received is that it's very possible they only received part part of the message. Because 72 seconds, it goes as far as the Earth's rotation. Because 72 seconds, you can start seeing some numbers. You can start seeing some things that can be translated. So at 72 seconds in, the 72-second window is very significant. Because the way the Earth rotates, 72 seconds in, at the beginning of it, they start getting some numbers here and there that they can translate. 36 seconds in, that's where they get the wow signal. That's where the signal is strongest. And then as it goes out, the signal starts getting weaker again. Right. So we only got part of the signal. There's a gradual increase. So it is this. The wow signal is actually the only confirmed sound that we've ever received from deep space. And in 2012, on the 35th anniversary of the wow signal, the observatory beamed a response from humanity containing 10,000 tweets.
Oh, we're sending them tweets?
We're sending them Fallon packets.
Oh,
so they can go and read all the dumb games that people write that they want fucking celebrities to play.
I love it when a celebrity smashes an egg on her head.
Oh my God.
That is humor.
So last of all, we're gonna come back to Earth, but we're gonna stay with broadcasts. We're gonna cover number stations.
Ooh.
Number stations are something that in particular that I love. Like, they are fascinating recordings. These are shortwave radio stations. Sometimes they just broadcast out numbers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's Morse code messages. But the thing that remains about number stations, they were mostly used, at least the theory is that they were used during the Cold War to transmit messages to spies.
Right.
And we have dozens of shortwave recordings, and not a single one has ever been decoded.
So
you know what's very interesting is that they could talk about this system of shortwave radio messages to spies possibly could have been used as early as World War I.
Yeah.
Because what they do is the shortwave radio, the way it works is that these – it doesn't take a lot of energy, and the signal can travel for very, very far. Mm-hmm. And what they think they do, again, there is no fucking proof that these do anything, or what these are, or what it is what purpose number stations serve. But there is an idea that they use what's called a daily code.
Also called a one-time pad.
The idea is that it can only be translated that day. And so they're unbreakable messages.
Right. And these are very real. These are, you know, documented and all true. It is also safe to say if you see Marcus Parks with his earphones in, don't ask him what he's listening to, because it's just going to be like...
Actually, I'll tell you exactly what I listen to.
Gosh.
This is... I have a four-disc set of... of recordings of number stations. Okay. I love listening to them. It can be a little maddening sometimes, but it is also kind of a form of meditation for me, because you can listen to these things, you can get into a zone, and you can really go to some sort of otherworldly place. Here, let's listen to one right now.
1, 5, 7, 2, 8 1, 5, 7, 2, 8
President Kennedy is turning down Daily Plaza.
1, 5, 7, 2, 8
And that goes on for like another like minute and a half.
That is.
I think that lady gave me a fake number.
Isn't that ridiculous? I've been playing that lottery number this whole damn time. Nothing's happening.
Yeah,
it's definitely what Lee Harvey Oswald was hearing right before he popped Kennedy in the head, or was it Prescott Bush?
It's very possible, because these things could, like the Russians had number stations.
Yeah,
the Americans had number stations. The Chinese, the Cubans,
right?
The English. The English were very well known for them.
But also, they will not claim them.
No.
Right.
So no one will claim which one to who belongs to who, or what belongs to what, and no one will say what it is. And it's just this... it's this thing where that's the ultimate secrecy-keeping mechanism. Is you just let it be out there and be like, well, nobody fucking understands it, so what does it even matter? Nobody... they don't know.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Chancellor of Germany, the job is done. I blew Richard Nixon. Oh, what's that? Oh, it was a 7. I was supposed to kill Richard Nixon. Okay, well, I sucked his dick. So I
sucked his dick so hard last night. I'd be surprised if he wants to go to a war anymore.
Yeah, I thought it was odd that you requested that, but
well, a lot of these voices are synthesized, especially that one that you just heard. That kind of like the Stephen Hawking thing, where you can just type in things. But some of them actually use live readers. But it's usually women that do the reading. Sometimes it's men. Sometimes it's children. This is one this is a woman reading. This is known as the Czech lady.
Yes, Mr. Johnson, this is your favorite spy here. Is it possible to make the voice a little bit less fucking creepy? Because it's really difficult to focus on my job. I am terrified over here.
Literally just, I'm covered in goosebumps.
Right, it's just, I'm not even listening to the numbers at this point.
Well, usually the transmissions begin on the hour or half hour, and you know those notes that you heard at the beginning, that boo-doo-doo-doo-doo? A lot of these number stations, they will continually transmit just those notes. A lot of them just have a few notes that they transmit over and over and over again, and a lot of people say that those are placeholders. They just have a placeholder that will continually do that. One of the most famous placeholders is called the buzzer. Now, the buzzer, is it was first reported in like 1982. It may have been on air since like 1976. And it goes about the buzzing sound goes about 25 times every minute. And every once in a while, you can hear a voice speaking in Russian, reading out some sort of code. And sometimes enthusiasts can hear Swan Lake in the background or being broadcast. So
I also find too the markers, and what they do too is to let if it's true, if spies are listening and you are using that to communicate, what they could do is know that the station's still active.
Yeah.
Knowing that the thing is playing over and over again, you know that the station is up. And because I imagine these things change all the time.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to be on a spy network, you're going to pick it up on different frequencies. So you need to know what frequencies are active. And the way you do that is with the marker.
Well, actually, the number stations broadcast on the same frequency constantly.
That's not smart.
No. Well, that's what people say is that first of all, there's a one-time code. They broadcast on the same frequency. Some of these have been broadcast, like, for example, the buzzer has been started in as early as 1976. Let's listen to the buzzer real fast. That has been going constantly with just a couple of interruptions for a Russian man to read things.
Huh.
That went constantly from 1982 to 2010.
And you're telling me it was number 3 on the pop charts in Russia?
I gotta say, all of these songs are starting to sound the same. I don't know what's Katy Perry, I don't know what's Miley Cyrus
anymore. Exactly, that sounded like Robin Thicke's son doing another rape song.
I remember that first rape song. What a catchy tune.
Oh, but people loved it.
So in 2010, actually, the buzzing started being interrupted, but it started being interrupted by a different message that just said, Mikhail Dmitry, Zinya Boris. Mikhail Dmitry, Zinya Boris. And over and over and over again.
Yeah, it just sounds like a friggin' Mikhail Dmitry, Zinya Boris. It just sounds like someone being racist against Russians.
Oh, it's not right. These Russians have had it hard enough.
So the funny thing about that, we know there's a couple of reasons why. Some people do have, I guess, speculation that these are being used by drug smugglers, that they could be used illegally. But yeah, there are definitely big reasons why we think that they are actually used by governments. First yes. of all, it has been proven, or at least some of these number stations coincide with big political events. Like once some, because there are people that are shortwave enthusiasts, mm-hmm. people that constantly monitor these things. Like the Connet Project was put together by a group of men. We're just going to go ahead and say right off, a group of men.
They had at least one blind woman in there.
Had to have, yeah, and she had no idea that they weren't women.
Yeah, and they put together this compilation, and these guys constantly monitor these broadcasts, and in 1991, during the August coup, in which the Soviets, the hardline communists, tried to overthrow Mikhail Gorbachev from, you know, ending communism and also, like, dissolving the USSR.
Well, they made a major mistake. They tried to get him drunk. Little do they know that made him stronger.
That's the thing. He just gets quicker and faster and smarter.
Very bizarre.
Yeah. And so what they heard on this number station, a number station suddenly changed its message to coincide with the August coup. So these people, it is pretty safe to assume that the number station and the coup were related. Some sort of go signal.
Well, that explains it. If you watch footage of Gorbachev during that time, much like presidents have red phones that light up, his birthmark would light up. So he knew when trouble was near. Sort of a spider sense. Yeah.
The other reasons why we know, well, and you also say, Henry, like that, you know, they keep it on the same frequency all the time. That's not smart. Right. Some people think that there is a gentleman's agreement between these governments that pretty much if you don't jam our signal, we won't jam yours.
Right. Oh, like they're always constantly working for each other and all wars are just theater in order to pass money between hands. And the only thing that matters in the fucking end game is who's got the water.
Well, the water, the oil, global government is real.
Well, the other thing about these shortwave radio transmissions is that they are – presumably, the most likely thing is that, yes, it is a spy network. Right. And so spies, high-frequency radio signals, unless you have a supercharged transmitter, unless it at least 500,000 watts, which is a lot. I used to have, when I was in college, I worked for a radio station that had 35,000 watts, and 35,000 covers about 60 miles. In other words, they had to be strong enough to reach a spy in a basement in Moscow. So these guys had to have these handheld devices that would be strong enough, that would be, if they got caught, they would still be able to say, like, hey, I'm just got my little shortwave radio here. I'm not an actual spy. They could cover their tracks a little bit.
I think what we're going to start seeing now is the reason why a lot of these number stations started ending in 2009, 2010 is because smartphone technology is now at a point where I bet the burner phone is now moving towards smartphone capabilities more and more.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, because the one of the most famous ones, the Lincolnshire Poacher, it ended transmission in 2009. Let's listen to a little bit from the Lincolnshire Poacher. This went from 1975 to 2008.
Oh, that's great.
I can't get this song out of my head!
This is an English transmission.
This is a really fun little tune for a nice 8-bit video game.
Oh, yeah, it really
Perfect.
Is.
The English specifically made it so a gnome could dance to it.
Yeah, exactly. Once the gnomes start dancing, you know they've heard the right tune.
And this was actually this was transferred to a Chinese station called Cherry Ripe.
That's very interesting, but the thing now is I feel like that's why these are not being used as much anymore, because if you look at something like Citizen 4 and you watch how easily they put that sort of encryption thing together where they could just send those secret messages back and forth, it's like, why would you need to have a ham radio on you anymore? That seems pretty obvious.
What I think is the most fascinating one is actually a pair of them, the Pip and the Squeaky Wheel. Let's listen to the Pip.
Beep.
Marcus is literally dancing to that.
Yeah, he is. Bam. This is what you listen to. I believe it now. You're so happy.
I mean, it's, you know, it's different strokes for different folks. Takes all kinds to make the world go round.
I like Elton
I'd love
John.
To see the mixtapes you make for Carly.
Oh, my God.
These are included.
The luckiest girlfriend around.
Yeah, she really, I mean, it's...
She's not. I was being sarcastic.
We share things.
Well, she's forced to listen to what you like. Yeah. That's fine. Though.
But so, there's the pip, and this is the squeaky wheel.
Yep.
And here is what's so fascinating about the pip and the squeaky wheel, at least in my opinion, is that, of course, there's those little numbers, like we said before, those are placeholders to keep other people from using those frequencies. And then, of course, every once in a while you have someone come on, they read a little bit of a code. And what's fascinating is that some people who are listening to the pip and some people who are listening to the squeaky wheel can sometimes hear transmissions that are read on one in the background of the other, which means that the pip and the squeaky wheel are most likely in the same transmitter area.
Same transmitter area.
And maybe the two operators are dating each other.
Oh, my God. I love it.
It's like Sleepless in Seattle, where they hold hands behind each other's backs, even though they're not supposed to date because they're spies.
I love it. I think the most fascinating thing about the squeaky wheel and the pip is that your girlfriend hasn't left you. Which is kind of fun.
Well, keep this fucking up, Marcus. I've been single for a reason too, all right? Yeah. And I will fucking, again, I will blame Hollow Moon on doing that to me. And that is just fucking...
Oh, she listened to me yell about this all last night.
Good.
We are on a lonely road.
That's great.
Right? It's going towards the truth. Is a lot. You can't have all these. You can't have families. You know why? Because if you have families and a girlfriend and you got friends and stuff like that, the problem is that they just get caught into the fucking system and they end up dead. And you can't have anybody holding them over your head. You know?
Okay.
That's why I'm staying single. It's not like I'm having problems communicating.
No, it's because you care too much about the woman that you love, and you know the government is so into what you know that they're going to destroy her to get to you.
The final number station that we're going to hear about is the Yosemite Sam transmission.
Ooh.
This one is really bizarre. It was first discovered in 2004, and the transmitter is thought to be somewhere in New Mexico.
Oh, my God. Is it David Parker Ray?
Oh, no. I'm taking a vacation in New Mexico here in about 2 weeks.
Don't
really looking
go
forward
there.
To it.
Why are you going there?
I love the land of enchantment.
Really?
You're going to New Mexico on vacation?
Yeah, that's not normal. I just went to Uruguay. go somewhere else.
New Mexico is just meth and sand.
Yeah, is that what you're
going to
go do?
No, not at all. I'm going to Ruidoso.
What's Ruidoso?
It's the mountains. It's Billy the Kid country. Like Lincoln County.
Yeah.
You know, you ever seen Young Guns?
Did Billy the Kid die of gout?
No.
Okay.
He got shot in the back, man.
Yeah, he got shot in the back by Pat Garrett, that son of a bitch.
Be careful. I'm sure he had the gout, too.
I'm from Thieves. <Steve's.
laughs> Yeah, Ruidoso, New Mexico. Hometown of Neil Patrick Harris, I'll have you know.
Yeah, but he left. That's the whole thing. He hasn't been back.
It's a small town of like 8,000 people. They've got all kinds of, they got a golf course, they got a horse track, and they got go-karts.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating.
You're going to be the only tourist to ever just fit right in.
I'm going to retire there.
Good. Yeah, well, I can't wait for you to visit me in the town that I retire in because it's not going to be disgusted.
Well, let's hear the Yosemite Sam transmission.
Ooh.
I'm going to blow you out of river.
It's going on a loop. It goes on a loop, and it repeats about every 2 minutes or so. So
I
it's just
think it's one of those things, if you're tuned into the station, every time you hear it, you got to take a shot. It's like a spy fucking drinking.
Yeah. Oh, they're always so drunk. And then you actually get to act like Yosemite Sam.
The last the last radio signal that we're going to cover, we're going to go back to space for this one. But this one is real. This one is terrifying. And it once again comes from the Russians.
Now, the thing that was different between our space program and the Russian space program is that we did a lot of math. We sent a lot of animals to die needlessly in space.
Yeah.
the Russians sent a lot of scientists.
Right. So if your corpse is in space, now does it deteriorate or does it just sort of maintain?
Well, what
does
makes...
Does it liquefy?
It probably mummifies just a little bit. It really depends on how much oxygen is in the atmosphere. But mostly what makes bodies decompose is moisture and bacteria.
So it's possible that these people that are up in space floating around, at some point they'll get out of our solar system and maybe land on an alien... planet or
something. If it's caught in the Earth's, the only way they'll get out is if they're pushed out of Earth's orbit, because right now they're orbiting. But a lot of them also crash to Earth on reentry, including this one right here. In the late 50s and early 60s, these two brothers, Achille and Gian Giudica Cordiglia, they believe that they intercepted transmissions from Sputnik 1 and Explorer 1, and they found... and they actually recorded this message from a cosmonaut that did not survive. Mm. And of course, that's in Russian, but what she's saying here,
yeah.
She's saying, come in, talk to me, I'm hot, I'm hot. This is dangerous, talk to me, I'm hot, I'm hot.
I can see a flame. I can see a flame. That's also in there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She's saying, and the last thing she says is, am I going to crash? Yes, yes. I feel hot. I feel hot. I will re-enter. I will re-enter. I am listening.
So that woman's dead. Yes. But she's a Russian. So we can take solace in that. There was a war. It was a war.
It was a cold war, Ben.
Well, not for her. It was pretty hot.
No. Yeah, it was a cold war, but she was in a hot seat.
Yeah. You don't want to be in that seat during a cold war.
So let's roll this thing around. Let's wrap it up with some man-made noises.
Oh, okay.
With some creepy... The first one that we're going to cover is the Aztec death whistle. No one really knows why the Aztec death whistle existed, only that it is absolutely terrifying. They said they may have used them for special ceremonies, maybe religious rituals, maybe during human sacrifices, and maybe to intimidate enemies. One person on the Facebook group, actually, when I posted this video, said that the Aztecs used this in conjunction with chihuahuas during battle.
Chihuahuas were in battle?
They were in battle. Well, yeah, they were the Aztecs' war dogs.
Think about this. Everybody was smaller back in the day. So chihuahuas, in retrospect, were bigger.
Well, yeah. Equally just as adorable as they are now.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that. Yeah, Isn't that fun?
The Aztecs and Mayans were quite short. Like, they were they were tiny people. The Spaniards, going against the Chihuahuas and the Aztecs and the Mayans, the Spaniards had quite the height advantage on them.
Well, they had a good height advantage, and of course, they also had the Pomeranians.
Yeah, that's the problem. They had the Pomeranians. Yeah. And also, they just had that Floyd Mayweather reach.
Yeah.
They could really get in there.
Right.
Well, let's listen to the Aztec death whistle.
So, this is the death whistle.
Well, that's a scream. That's
Mom, I'm gonna clean up my room.
Okay, yeah.
Mom, I'm gonna go.
Well, that is a loose interpretation of what a whistle is.
It's a thing that you blow into and make noise with.
Oh, like a...
Yeah, dude, yeah, they use it because it's creepy, and they probably use it all the time to scare the shit out of each other while your one was asleep.
Yeah, maybe they used it during soccer games, like the... What is it, the vuvuzela?
The vuvuzela.
The vuvuzela.
The next one is... this one's fascinating, and
this really affected Marcus.
This really did. This one is called Binaural Beats, binaural. Well, I don't know how exactly to pronounce it, but binaural beats, it was discovered in 1839. And what this guy says is that when a person hears two separate tones, two different frequencies in each ear,
a slight difference in the frequencies will create a third phantom sound that only exists in the head of the listener and can only be heard by that individual.
Ooh.
And some people say that it can be associated with enhanced mental function, problem-solving, concentration, alertness, relaxation, and states of arousal.
Now, know this. We're going to play this, all right? Just know this. If you're driving right now, I think you should pull over.
Yeah.
Or you just know that you may end up like listening to this, blacking out. All of a sudden, you shot a bunch of people at a J. Crew.
Oh, my God.
Just know that. I don't know what's going to happen after you listen to this sound. Yeah.
So I listened to this for a full 5 minutes yesterday. And some people, including me, after listening to it and really focusing on it, kind of describe being high a little bit, having some sort of like having your perspective shifted a little
bit. Were you smoking weed while you listened to it?
I was right here and I was totally sober.
Okay.
Completely sober. I actually listened to it and stared up at the ceiling. And when it was over, I actually spoke out loud and I felt like my voice, it sounded like my voice was being dragged across gravel.
I'll put it this way. Marcus called me right afterwards, and he was like, man, these sounds, man. There are sounds out there, man.
Yeah. In other words, I sounded like a dude who was really stoned trying to explain it to his friend.
That's great. Yeah.
And I was also getting like some auditory or some visual hallucinations as well. It was pretty fucking nuts, but I did have to listen to it for a full 5 minutes straight.
Well, I'm just so happy that you saw my name in your phone book. You shook it off and went with Henry.
What are you talking about? Henry texted me. That's the reason why I called
Henry. I know. I'm thanking you for it. I never want to have that phone call from you.
Well, I know that Henry's more open than you are.
I am very open. I just like to have respect for you still.
Well, okay, fine.
We'll see what happens.
I'm kidding.
See if you start whipping your dick out after you listen to these binaural beats.
All right, yeah. I'm the idiot.
Here we go.
Yeah. I actually see your point.
Yeah. And if you listen to it, after I listened to it for a while, I started to hear a third sound that felt like it existed just above my right eye, and it sounded like a drain.
Where is Brian? Brian brought me here.
Uh-oh.
Brian, I'm so sad.
Well, that's only like 30 seconds. But
I can tell, though. I think that we should maybe, for the listeners, play a good 5 minutes at the end of the episode if we could, because I would... You know, really let him go there.
Well, you could also, like, YouTube, you know, Binaural Beat. It's at 528 hertz. And Henry actually said that he couldn't... You said you can't hear anything. You've tried this before, right?
Yeah, I've done it before. I had no effect.
Yeah.
I just smoke wheat. If I want to get high, I just smoke fucking wheat.
I like that.
Closing your receptor, though.
Yeah, man, you're closing the receptor. My receptor's fucking open, dude.
Yeah, you should call me next time you listen to that, Marcus. Don't call Henry anymore. His receptor's closed. He's a jerk off.
Do you dream, Henry? I bet you don't, because I do.
I dream.
Yeah, last night I dreamed about an old man who just kept saying over and over again, "Pussy, I've had my fill."
Wasn't that interesting? Yeah, I had a dream with Hillary Clinton in it, so that's kind of, we had a similar one. All right, wow. Any more mysterious sounds?
We got one more to round it all out.
Cool.
And this one, Ben, this is for you.
Really
want to get, this is called Phantom Words. And this is a recording that pretty much everybody hears something different when they listen to this recording. I heard one thing. Henry heard another thing. I played it for my girlfriend last night. She heard something completely different than the two of us.
Get out. Get out of the relationship.
No.
No, it wasn't that. Oh, okay.
You're asleep.
So I want to hear, just tell me what you think this person is saying.
Okay.
All right. So, Ben, what did you hear?
I mean, I just heard like Noel.
You heard Noel?
Yeah.
Okay. Henry, you heard?
No way.
You heard no way? I heard don't weld.
Don't weld?
Don't weld, don't weld, don't weld, don't weld.
That's just a memory of your father yelling at you for doing it wrong.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we have to wrap it up. Wow, what an episode, though. Very interesting sounds.
Yeah, man.
So many noises.
Yeah, that's...
I almost went insane with this. Like, this was another one of those episodes where my mind almost broke a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I went... There was a whole lot that we didn't go for, but there was... I sifted through a lot, and yesterday was a gray, rainy day here in New York City, which is a perfect day for listening to mysterious sounds and almost losing your mind.
I agree with that. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening.
I hope everyone was stoned for this. I should have said that at the very top.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Should have smoked weed for this episode specifically because it's just noises.
Yeah. It's all heavy noises. There's no doubt. I'm just going to throw out a Hail Bell. A Hail Art Bell.
Hail Bell.
Hail Art Bell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
A Hail Nori.
A Hail Nori. Thanks so much for listening. Supporting
and I'm
going to
say this, all right? I've been feeling down recently.
Yeah.
And you know what brought me right back up? Going back and reading the Satanic Bible.
Oh.
If you ever feel down, if you ever feel like you don't believe in yourself or you're upset with what your circumstances are, read the Satanic Bible because it's got some fucking juicy bon mots in
and
it.
And if you're sitting there and you're feeling insecure and you want to take it out and vent and say negative things on a social media site, go for a run. Do something different with your life. Don't be a jerk off. Don't be a loser because nobody respects you.
Yeah.
So be kind.
Go join the Facebook group.
Yeah.
And follow us on Twitter at LP on the left. And go
rate and review us on iTunes, please. Positively.
That's right. And of course on Twitter, that's Henry Loves You and at Marcus Parks. I'm at Ben Kissel. Thanks for supporting all the shows, Top Hat Roundtable, everything that Marcus does as well with Miss Jackie Zabrowski. Every show here is incredible. And Henry, let's do a quick update. How is life in Canada? How is the filming going?
The filming is very good. I am covered in bruises.
Perfect.
It's pretty fucking badass.
Nice.
Heroes Reborn is going to be pretty dark.
Nice.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I'm good. The filming has been a blast. The show is a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah.
Nice. And one last thing. Be sure and go buy the Cowman album at thecowman.bandcamp.com. Do you guys mind if I play one more preview track?
No,
at the
of
end
course
of the episode?
Not. No.
All right, hail me.
Yeah, got a hail Gein.
Yeah,
don't forget that.
Hail Gein.
We'll
yes.
Do Magustalations and
Yeah, and here it is. This song's called Preacher. You're gonna fucking love
don't
it.
Don't not go fuck yourself.
That's right, and it works out perfectly for our mysterious recordings.
Yes, here's a mysterious recording from the Cowman.
The Cowman.
Thecowman.bandcamp.com. Only $7.
Well, there was a preacher rode into town. The town. It was a real short town. He found a lot by the cancer boys, too. Across.